David Trainer, the president and founder at New Constructs, is here, and he's the guy who developed the system that goes rooting through the footnotes. What are they looking for? Trouble. And we're going to find it now on The Danger Zone. Yes, welcome to The Danger Zone, the part of the show where we talk with the experts from New Constructs about an issue, a security, or maybe a couple of securities that they see headed for trouble. And they have reasons to believe that something is headed for trouble. At New Constructs, they evaluate securities on a scale of most attractive to most dangerous. But they come to that a little bit differently, because it would be easy to look top down, see some numbers, and think about a security.
You are so good looking.
But at New Constructs, they don't dig in at the top. No, no, no. They ask a different question.
Is it possible I'm not as attractive as I think I am?
And then they dig in at the bottom. They work at the footnotes level up. It is forensic accounting meets cash flow analysis. You put it together, and what happens is sometimes a security is misleading. The numbers present a different picture when you use the lens that New Constructs uses. If it's working against you, that stock is dangerous. If it's working for you, that stock might be attractive. If you want to see the list of most attractive and dangerous stocks, if you want to learn more about what they do, go to newconstructs.com. They blog about their danger zone picks, so there's always more information on what we talk about here. By the way, they're on Twitter at New Constructs. David Trainer, welcome back to Money Life.
It is great to be back, Chuck. Thank you.
Who's in the danger zone this week?
Pluralsight.
Danger, danger.
Pluralsight. It is ticker symbol PS. This has been a high flyer that has been on the come down. So what you're suggesting is what we've seen is the beginning of the decline, and what's coming is going to be worse, right?
Yeah, you know, look, they missed earnings in second quarter 2019 and dropped 40%. I mean, this is a really risky stock. It has all the hallmarks of a danger zone pick, Chuck. It's got terrible profitability, accounting earnings looking better, core earnings headed in the opposite direction, negative and falling, terrible returns on invested capital, costs rising is faster than revenue. And anyway, when they try to cut back on sales and marketing expense, what happens? Revenue slow. But I'm going to dig a little deeper, and I challenged our team to, you know, dig a little bit deeper on some of these danger zone calls, because it can't just be about valuation. And a lot of times when we make it about valuation, when we talk about competitive position, we just sort of assume people will read between the lines in a lot of ways and say, okay, wait a second, weak competitive position means they will never earn the margins that they've got to earn to justify the price. And I think we're going to be doing a better job going forward of drawing out exactly why they will never earn those margins. Because I think a lot of times the only way you justify these kind of crazy high valuations is that people believe that at some point in the future, the business, quote unquote, scales and they get to Oracle, Facebook level margins, which, again, very few companies in the history of the world have ever achieved. In the case with Pluralsight, I'm going to draw out the case while they're not going to do that. And further, these guys got 1 year of cash left on the books, less than a year. So this stock's got a long way to fall, and if they don't get acquired, which I don't think they will, you know, we're looking at, the economic book value for this company is negative $14 a share, and the future growth prospects are just absurd, and, you know, this one could go to zero pretty fast.
What could be the catalyst? Because the catalysts we've seen thus far have taken the starch out of the stock, but haven't taken it down ridiculously low, or in this case, to zero.
Earnings miss, for sure, because they're spending themselves into the ground really fast. That's always one of them. But I think I'm going to maybe change the way people see this company by pointing out something that I don't think the popular narrative takes into account. And that's the fact that Pluralsight is doomed because they're competing against firms who can offer the same product and service as a free byproduct of what they already do. And you go back to Porter's Five Forces, that's the biggest no-no there is. Don't ever get into competition with companies that can offer what you do as a free byproduct of something they already do, especially if they make a lot of money doing it. And who am I talking about? I'm talking about the software firms. Right? Pluralsight sells education and training software to help people learn how to use software. Right?
Yep.
That's what they specialize in.
Yep.
But guess what? You think Oracle spends time educating and training the people to whom they want to sell or the clients they want to keep? You think Palo Alto Networks trains the people that sell their products so they can make sure that they can convince the buyer of the value proposition? How many people do you think are buying software without understanding it well enough to see the value in it? Right?
Yep.
So what I'm telling you is that Pluralsight's never going to achieve those margins. They are competing against firms that spend way more than they spend on sales and marketing, because guess what? Oracle and Microsoft and these companies, they make a lot of money, and they can offer training for free because it supports the sales process.
Is there any hope for Pluralsight as a takeover target, those sorts of things? I mean, we know that that doesn't stop them from going in the tank, but it means that at some point somebody might want to bottom fish them, if only because there's value left either in the name or what they do.
Yeah, you know, in a lot of reports, we have the stupid money risk, and we walk through the math of what an acquisition would look like or could look like. And when we look at what would make sense for an intelligent capital allocator like Microsoft to pay, we're talking about an 80 or 90% discount to the current price. And when we say an intelligent price, we're saying Microsoft needs to think about how much capital they want to spend on Pluralsight so that they can earn a good return on their investment, right? Because however much they spend on Pluralsight, they have to compare to how much cash flow they're going to get from Pluralsight. And the only thing that makes sense is a price that's around $2 or $3.
And that's why Pluralsight, ticker symbol PS, yeah, headed for trouble, significant trouble, potentially headed for zero when the market figures out what David and his crew have figured out. David Trainer, always great to chat with you. Thanks so much for taking the time.
It is my pleasure. Thank you, Chuck.
That's David Trainer, everybody. He is president and founder at New Constructs. And if you want more information, if you want to learn more about why they picked on Pluralsight, there's a report and more that you can find at newconstructs.com. They blog about their danger zone picks and more on Twitter at New Constructs. All right, we are heading for home on the Monday, March the 2nd edition of Money Life. Up next, it's market call time. Dana DiOria from Symmetry Partners will be here talking funds and ETFs when we come back right after this message.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.